This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Swuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
It's not helpful when people speculate without having the information.
That was Dr. James Jonah, the former UN Secretary General for Political Affairs, on the widespread reaction and conspiracy theories that have followed the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. Details coming up also. Rwandans are voting in an election that is expected to extend the long rule of President Paul Kagame. And Kenyan police arrested a suspected serial killer who confessed to killing 42 women and dumping their bodies in a garbage. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. Former U.S. President Donald Trump is pushing ahead with his campaign for the presidency 2 days after surviving an assassination attempt. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is ramping up its investigation in the shooting of Trump at a campaign rally in the state of Pennsylvania. Trump was wounded in the ear when a man fired at him from a rooftop near where Trump was giving a speech. A man in the audience died and others were wounded in the attack. Law enforcement officers shot the suspected gunman dead. Two FBI agents today were seen entering the home of the suspected gunman today in Pennsylvania. The motive of the 20-year-old suspect, Thomas Matthew Crooks, remains a mystery, with the FBI unable to identify what drove him to attack the former president. Also today, the U.S. Secret Service said it would participate fully in probes announced by President Joe Biden and members of Congress after its agents failed to prevent a gunman from shooting and injuring Trump over the weekend. The Secret Service protects presidents, former presidents, and presidential candidates and has been criticized for not making sure no one has access to rooftops near the Trump rally. U.S. political leaders from both Trump's Republican parties and Biden's Democratic Party have been saying the country needs to ease on harsh political rhetoric and have said they are grateful Trump is doing well. For more on the attack on Donald Trump, my colleague Catherine Gibson, VOA's Capitol Hill reporter, is on the line now. Welcome to African News Tonight, Catherine.
Good to be with you.
So first, we have members of Congress been saying about, what have they been saying about the shooting?
Well, there's intense concern on Capitol Hill this week about the security failures, the clear security failures that led to that shooter being able to be on that rooftop so close to former President Trump. You know, this is something that the Secret Service is supposed to lock down. There's also some questions about whether the local police in the area should have done something to lock down those rooftops. There will be numerous congressional investigations. As soon as we wrap up the convention here in Milwaukee, the U.S. Congress will be back in session, and we will be holding a special hearing to look into this issue.
I'm sure Congress will be investigating this attack. When is that expected to begin, and what will it entail?
Right. So we're hearing that the first special hearing could be as early as the Monday after the convention wraps up. Of course, all of the lawmakers are here in Milwaukee right now for the Republican convention. Once they come back into session in Washington, D.C., then we will see those hearings on Capitol Hill. We can absolutely expect to hear members of the Secret Service testify. We also may hear from local police to see how that interaction was between the local police in Pennsylvania and the Secret Service. I think that's going to be one of the big questions that lawmakers have in that special hearing.
And finally, many people around the world may be wondering why there seems to be more gun violence in the U.S. than in many countries. Can you briefly explain the background on U.S. gun laws?
Right. You know, a lot of it goes back to our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, that was written at the beginning of this country's existence. And one of the key rights that was enshrined into that constitution is the Second Amendment, and that guarantees the right to bear arms. Now, there's a lot of discussion in this country about what exactly the founding fathers of the U.S. meant by that right, whether they could have even anticipated the high technology weapons that we now have in the 21st century. But regardless, there is a culture in the U.S. of being able to carry your own weapons and use them, and that has led to a lot of the gun violence we've seen in this country.
VOA Capitol Hill reporter Catherine Gibson, thank you for your input.
You're so welcome.
The attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump is leading the news around the world. Dr. James Jonah, the former United Nations Assistant Secretary General for Political Affairs and a former cabinet minister and diplomat for Sierra Leone, tells VOA's Peter Clotty that too much speculation can make such unsettling events even more divisive.
It's not helpful when people speculate without having the information. And that's why I am very pleased with President Biden's last night statement, which I think it is most responsible for any head of state who is responsible for the welfare of its people. Too many things are not known at this stage. All you are hearing are partisans at times speculating, making suggestions. These things, in my view, are never, never helpful.
Do you think the ongoing speculations being carried out by some people, including some of the media, will rather worsen the situation?
Yes, I've always said that. There are times there's too much speculation, too much innuendos, which really are not helpful. And any responsible commentator or analyst should wait until all the facts are known. You have the FBI, Homeland Security, are all conducting their own investigation. The president also announced that there will be also a separate investigation. Let us wait until all of these information are put together. Then we can make judgments. Right now, I don't see how one can make any sensible judgments when we have so many unknowns. And that's why I personally have refrained from making any statement or judgment on a situation which remains complex and where any wild speculation can lead to instability.
Now, Dr. Jonah, before you go, what do you say to people from outside the United States, including Africa particularly, who are saying that sometimes the rhetoric are rather sharp and quite divisive? And they wonder if that could have contributed to what is going on about tensions in the U.S. ahead of the election. So what is your take?
Well, even I know that we hear toning down the rhetoric. It's a wise advice. But frankly speaking, what we have today in the media, people always speak about the social media, but even the main media. And when people pontificate, and you know they don't know much about what they're pontificating about, I always find that as someone who has been in this business for over 50 years, that these things are not helpful. I just repeat what I learned in the elementary school. The least said, the soonest mended.
That was Dr. James Jonah, the former UN Assistant Secretary General for Political Affairs and a former cabinet minister and diplomat for Sierra Leone. He was speaking to VOA's Peter Cloete. The mood is tense in the Midwest city of Milwaukee as thousands descend on the Wisconsin city to attend the start of the Republican National Convention 2 days after an assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. VOA's Carol Van Dam has more.
Early Sunday afternoon, parishioners gathered at the Holy Family Catholic Church in Whitefish Bay to attend a French-speaking mass. Many of them originally hail from West African countries where French is the common language. Jean-Luc Ngoi, who was born and raised in the Democratic Republic of Congo, says he wasn't about to let what happened at the Pennsylvania rally stop him from coming to church.
When I saw it on the news, I was a little bit worried. But not at the point where I can't come to church. So I said, okay, it was like far away from here, so I guess Milwaukee was safe. And then that's why I said to myself, let me go to church and then pray for the peace and the calm situation in the country.
Maria Basmoski, who works for the Atlantic Council America Center, speaks French and English and likes to come to this French-speaking mass with her husband and two girls. She says she's glad Milwaukee police have increased security in downtown Milwaukee after Saturday's incident.
I think there was heightened security starting yesterday after that event happened. And yeah, I think that the mood is going to be a different one now.
Uber drivers here in Milwaukee say the outside perimeters of the RNC seem to be expanding by the hour. Father Michael Mayer, who officiated over the mass, says he did not include prayers for Mr. Trump because the church does not change the liturgy for every circumstance that happens in the world.
Every single day there is an action that is contrary to God's justice, for God's love for us and for God's love of our neighbor. So that we don't adapt the liturgy to, because basically what we recognize in the beginning of the Mass is we recognize our own sinfulness and the brokenness in the world.
Carol Van Dam for VOA News, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
People around the world have reacted strongly to the shooting of former President Trump. For more perspective, VOA's Paul Ndiho spoke with Sir Leonard Anyogo, a constitutional lawyer and political analyst based in Calabar, Nigeria.
The whole world sees America as a beacon of hope, beacon of democracy, and of course, beacon of security. I think that this event is a turning point. I believe very firmly that both former President Donald Trump and President Joe Biden will understand that their actions or inactions, their choice of words, is far beyond them as individuals. It's for the whole global community. We expect a civil communication. We expect that people should set their ideas. We should not attack persons. We should propel their interests and not persons. You should sell your message in a more decent form. It brings in more persons to you than being offensive in the choice of words, and being so that the community will not be polarized at the end of the day, because that is the hallmark. Because you can only govern a people that is civil, a people that is peaceful. You can never have any development where violence is threatened, where the society is unstable. So I call that everyone should use words that unite more than words that divide.
You talk of America as a beacon of hope for democracy for the rest of the world, and rightly so, a lot of people look up to America. What do you think led to this point where people are literally ripping each other apart instead of playing nice, being politicians, you know, arguing for the sake of making their case until the voters decide who becomes president?
Former President Donald Trump needs to condemn violence. He needs to tone down his rhetoric. And of course, there is never a justification for whatever happened in Pennsylvania. What I would like to know, this principal candidate, both Joe Biden and Donald Trump, have a lot of followers, have a lot of influence. So it's not just about them. It's about the global community. One cannot imagine America in chaos. That means the whole world order will have collapsed.
How about people who argue, for example, they're saying that maybe this could change the political landscape. It could change the way the campaigns are held or the way these politicians canvass for votes are going forward.
Politics, we are looking for votes. You need people to govern. You don't need a polarized society. You know, America, just like I keep saying, is a beacon of hope globally. So the American society has to be united to ward off violence. So this is a turning point as far as the global community is concerned. I think going ahead, going forward, we should see more of very refined language from both camps, refined diction of words, more that is more united. Look, it's an election. Anybody can win. Anybody can lose. If you lose, you should concede defeat, because there can never be two winners at the same time. There must be a winner at a point. So both former President Donald Trump and President Joe Biden, of course, have to do that undertaking that, look, either I win or I lose, but American society will remain.
Sir Leonard Anyogo, a constitutional lawyer based in Calabar, Nigeria, speaking to VOA's Paul Indigo. People in Africa followed the incident with shock and dismay. In Uganda, Nakaza Rehema says such violence could happen anywhere.
I think that is something that can happen anywhere. I think it's a bit arrogant for any country to assume that they're too secure and they have outgrown human emotion. Because, you see, political seasons are very emotional seasons and people are volatile and all. So that kind of stuff is expected.
But Luswata Kiven was stunned to hear the news.
It is shocking. I've been following Donald Trump since when he was even still a restaurant. But if it was happening here, where I'm standing in Uganda, I would not be much surprised where people can happen at any time. But in country like U.S., the superpower country, we are really left of what to say. I'm shocked if it can happen in America.
In South Africa, Devanseni Padiacha pointed out that Trump has built up enemies over the years.
I think business-wise, as well as being a former president, I think he has, enemies. It's bound to happen.
Meanwhile, Stephen Magombo thought the attack was an ambush.
Now, actually, it's not fair, you know. Because we know America, there's democracy, and that thing is an ambush, actually. That thing, I don't know, but it's not right. You know, it's very concerning.
And in a story relating to Donald Trump, a Florida judge appointed by Donald Trump has dismissed the criminal case against the former president on charges of mishandling top secret documents, saying the way that special counsel Jack Smith was appointed was improper. The decision is a huge victory for Trump, who has been accused of endangering national security by holding on to top secret documents after leaving the White House. It's one of several cases facing Trump as he campaigns to unseat President Joe Biden and return to the White House. You're listening to African News Tonight on The Voice of America. And for more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. Long lines were reported today at some polling stations in Rwanda, where President Paul Kagame, who has held power since the end of the country's genocide in 1994, is expected to overwhelmingly win another term in office. Kagame, 66, is running virtually unopposed. Provisional results were expected later in the day. Kagame faced the same opponents, Frank Habineza of the Democratic Green Party of Rwanda and independent candidate Philippe Mpayimana, in the previous election in 2017, in which Kagame took nearly 99% of the vote. Kagame has been condemned by many, praised by others, for presiding over impressive growth in the 3 decades since the genocide. Amnesty International recently expressed concern over threats, arbitrary detention, prosecution on trumped-up charges, killings, and enforced disappearances targeting the political opposition. Kagame is among African leaders who have prolonged their rule by pursuing changes to term limits. In 2015, Rwandans, in a referendum, voted to lift a 2-term limit. Now Kagame could stay in power until 2034. Now we go to VOA's Mariama Diallo for a live update on the voting. Where are you at, Mariama, and what's going on?
Hello, Yehias. Thank you for having me. We had a busy day. Obviously, it was election day, so Rwandans came out en masse as if they would be voting for whoever. You know, the people that we talked to told us that, you know, one of them, for example, who we interviewed, made sure that she wanted to be at the polls at 7 a.m. to be the first person to vote, and telling us that she was very excited to vote, basically, her civic responsibility, basically, for the country. But, you know, she was voting, trying to vote for a candidate who would make changes in Rwanda. Not only just make changes, but somebody who would improve the country. I think you get that a lot when you talk to the voters. A lot of them, obviously, are voting for President Kagame, but a lot of them are also saying that, listen, it's been a long time. It's been 30 years that he's been around. Some of us, for example, the 2 million extra new voters this year, it went from 7 million last time around to 9 million this year, meaning the 2 million were all new voters this year. So I think a lot of them would say, just, you know, even if they want continuation, if they want change, whoever is coming to change stuff, to not destroy what has already been built. Because, yes, as you said, President Kagame has also done a lot for the country.
Currently, activities are currently underway and are expected to end on July 12th. The president of the Republic of Rwanda serves as the head of state government and commander-in-chief of the Rwandan Defense Force. And analysts, Mariama, here are saying, today's election is more like a coronation.
Well, I mean, if you think of it that way, I mean, I think for people who are voting for Kagame, and again, I've tried to ask them more and more questions, and even not even just for the people who are trying to vote for Kagame, I just want to actually bring up that he did a presser this weekend where he faced the media, and people asked questions, and obviously a lot of us were asking him, hey, what's next? Are you thinking about retirement? Is anybody being kind of groomed to take over, continue your work? But a lot of people, I mean, for him, he gave 3 scenarios. First, he said, I've actually been talking to my party. It's my party that has been insisting year after year after year that I keep running. But on the other hand, he also said that, you know, why do people keep asking him that? You know, why do people keep asking him to step down? Because the people who have been electing him keep voting for him. So, you know, he's a little bit confused, and that's not fair. So those are scenarios that, you know, that he brings up, when it comes to him prolonging or him staying in power here.
Thank you, Mariama Diallo, for your reportage.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kenyan police say they have arrested a suspected serial killer who confessed to killing 42 women and dumping their dismembered bodies in a Nairobi garbage site. Since Friday, 9 mutilated bodies trussed in plastic bags have been pulled from the site of the Mukuru slum area in the south of the capital. Acting Inspector General of Police Douglas Kananja said the 33-year-old suspect, identified as Collins Jumasi Kaluhusha, was arrested near a bar at around 3 today. Kananja said autopsies on the victims would be carried out today.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I am Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Nicole Peters, and our engineer, Tian Wong, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.